This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
We have been preaching about friends. We have been a series on friends, and I'm going to continue that today. I think today might be the most important message that I'll share. I really think it is, friend. I think today is the most important message I'll share. Proverbs 19:6 says this: many will entreat the favor of a prince. But looky here. Every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Get that. Every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. God's a giver, amen? For God so loved the world that he gave. We're never any more like Jesus than when we give. And what I want to do, I'm going to talk to you in just a few moments about the three greatest gifts that we can give. The three greatest gifts that we can give a friend. And the good news is every one of us have the capacity and the ability to give those gifts. Let us pray. Jesus, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, I cannot, you never said I could. You can, you always said you would. I pray you'll speak to me and through me. And God, for all you do, we're going to give you glory, honor, and praise. For I pray this prayer with a grateful heart. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about the three greatest gifts you can give a friend. The three greatest gifts you can give a friend. I have a, speaking of friends, I have a dear friend. His name is Johnny Hunt. Johnny Hunt and I are preacher friends, and we train pastors together, and he's just a wonderful, wonderful brother that I have deep love and admiration for. And I heard him tell this story. He said, I was 23 years old, and he said, I was pastoring in North Carolina. It was a church I was pastoring. I was trying to go to Bible college. He said, I had a very young family. He said, I was so broke, I couldn't pay attention. He said, I was just very, very struggling. And he said, in that church, there was a couple that were in their 70s. Their names were Otis and Viola Scruggs. Otis and Viola Scruggs. And this is what I found. This is what I found in my life. A pastor's blessed when he has an Otis and Viola Scruggs in his church. They were just wonderful people. They weren't rich people. They were just people that loved Jesus deeply. They didn't have children. They actually did, but when they were born, they were twins. And shortly after birth, just a few weeks after birth, both of the boys died of kidney problems. So they didn't have children. So Johnny said, when I came with my young family, they kind of took me and my wife as their children. And he said they would take us out and buy us meals. They'd make sure my little girls had nice dresses. He said Otis would go down to the clothing store and he would buy me a nice suit. Not wealthy, but just a very, very generous person. Johnny said, when I finished Bible college, he said, Otis actually paid all my loans off. Paid my loans off. And he said, Otis, I've got to go away now. I'm going away 7 hours away to seminary. And he said, we knew that. We knew you couldn't stay long, but we've just really enjoyed the time that you were here, Pastor Johnny. Johnny said, one day, Viola called me. And she said, Johnny, Otis is in cardiac care. He's not going to live. He's going to die. But she said, Johnny, I don't want you to come. There's no need for you to come. He's not even conscious. He hadn't been conscious in days, so there's no need of you coming. But what I'm calling you about, when he dies, Johnny, would you preach his funeral? Because he would want you to preach his funeral. And Johnny said, I'd be honored to preach his funeral. But he said, I also knew I was going. He said, I knew I was going. And he said, I drove 7 hours, and I came to that hospital, and I walked in there, and they said, Mr. Scruggs is not conscious. And he said, I went up and whispered in his ear, and I said, Brother Otis, Brother Otis. And he said, when I said Brother Otis, he opened up his eyes. And he said, Johnny, Johnny. And he said, Pastor Benny, he had a hospital gown on. But when he said, Johnny, he started reaching for his wallet. He started reaching for his wallet. And he said, you know what he was doing? He was dying like he lived. He was dying like he lived. He was a giver while he was living. So he was a giver in his dying. Now you come up real close. Giving has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with the amount of money. Giving has to do with your heart. Giving has to do with the matter of the heart. You can be a generous person and not have any money. And you can be a very stingy person and have all kind of money. It has everything to do with your heart. So what I want to talk to you about, there are three gifts that you're going to need. And there are three gifts that we ought to all give. And we ought to all give them because we're all going to need them. Gift number one is the gift of your presence. The gift of your presence. You know, I tell families, I believe this. If you've got young children, many times we're so busy giving our children what we didn't have, we're not giving them what we did have. And all the presence won't replace your presence. All the presence won't replace your presence. There's something about the gift of your presence. Paul, God used him in Acts chapter 18 to establish a church in Ephesus. And there was a man who gave his life to Christ at Ephesus. His name was Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus. And he was converted under Apostle Paul's ministry. Paul later went to prison. He was in a cold, damp prison in Rome. A cold, damp prison in Rome. And the Bible says while he was there in that prison for preaching the gospel, something happened. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Bible doesn't say much about these men, but all I know is when Paul was in prison, they forsook him. Get this. In prosperity, our friends know us. But in adversity, we know our friends. The friend is the person who walks in when everybody else is walking out. Phygellus and Hermogenes. I've had some friends like that before in my life. But the Bible says, Paul said, give mercy unto Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me, and he was not ashamed of my chains. He never let where I was interfere with who I was. He never let what I'd done interfere with who I was. He never let anything interfere with the relationship that I had with him. When he was in Rome, Paul said he sought me out very diligently. I was in a cold, damp Roman prison, but there was a man by the name of Onesiphorus. He came and he sought me out. And he was a friend to me at a low time in my life. You listen to me closely, folks. The greatest thing that anybody ever gives you is their time. You say, Pastor, but he gave me money. You can reclaim money. You can remake money. You say, Pastor, he gave me health. No, no, no. Health can be regained many times. The greatest thing that a person can ever give you is when they give you your time, because that can never be regained. That can never be recaptured. I want you to understand something. The greatest gift you can give somebody is when you give them your time. And the greatest gift they give you is when they give you their time. Lou Holtz said, friendships evaporate when we don't stay in touch. The greatest gift a person can give you is when they just give you their presence, when they just give you their time. Let me tell you the second gift that every person can give. It's the gift of prayer. It's the gift of prayer. There was a man in the Bible, or James 5 and 16 says this before I even go there. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. I don't understand why one oxen can pull 2 tons and 2 oxen can pull 16 tons. I don't understand why geese can fly 71% farther when they fly in a V formation, but they can. There's something about joining together. There's something about somebody praying for us. There's something about a prayer partner. There's something about somebody lifting you up to Jesus. You know, in Colossians, Paul speaks of a man by the name of Epaphras. Epaphras. I didn't know much about Epaphras. I knew Paul said he was a fellow servant. And I want you to notice that. A servant, ladies and gentlemen. You know what God's called us to be? Not celebrities. He's called us to be servants. You say, well, I don't know where I'm at. I'm at concerning that. I'll tell you how to know where you're at. How do you respond and react when you're treated like a servant? That gives you a good indicator of where we are. Jesus said, let the greatest among you be your servant. And Martin Luther King Jr. said, any man can be great because any man can serve. I just want to go on record and say, God's called us to be servants. God's called us to be servants. He said, he was my fellow servant and a faithful minister. Well, when I read that, I thought he was a fellow servant. He was a faithful minister. What was he doing? And then Colossians 4 tells me, he was laboring fervently for you in prayers. Oh, he said, I had an Onesiphorus, but I also had an Epaphras. And what Epaphras did was he simply prayed for me. Don't ever, ladies and gentlemen, underestimate the power of somebody praying for you. Every Sunday morning when I get to church, I go into a room. I go into that room every Sunday morning and I get down on my knees. And when I get down on my knees, there's a group of men who gather around me and start laying their hands on me and start praying for me. Because what I've learned, that's the power source. God does nothing but by prayer, and he does everything with it. D.L. Moody, the great preacher. D.L. Moody, the great preacher, was preaching in Chicago. They were having great revivals. People were giving their lives to Christ. Tremendous things were happening. There was a lady, Mary Ann Adlard. She was in London, England. I don't remember if it was what her diagnosis was, but she couldn't get out of bed. But Marianne Adlard was in London, England, and she said, God, she would pray for D.L. Moody, who she'd never met. And she said, God, send him to our church. Send him to our church. D.L. Moody said, he said one day to his wife, honey, I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted. I'm weak in body. The only way I can get any rest is get out of the country. The only way I can get any rest is to get out of this nation. She said, D.L., where are we going to go? He said, we're going to go to England. We're going to go to London, England, because the moment I get there, I can rest. He said, I arrived in London, England. I was walking down a street, and a man said, you're D.L. Moody. He said, yes, I am. He said, I feel impressed, D.L. Moody, to invite you to my church to preach Sunday morning. I feel impressed to invite you to my church to preach Sunday morning. He said, I looked at my wife and said, honey, it's just 30 minutes. It's just one sermon. I'll preach 30 minutes. I'll preach one sermon. We'll spend the rest of the days in rest. D.L. Moody said, I went to preach one sermon that I thought was going to be 30 minutes. But he said, revival broke out. Revival broke out. He said, I ended up preaching for 10 days. He said, better than 400 people came to know Christ as personal Savior. And he said, I was getting ready to leave. And the pastor said, there's somebody I want you to meet. She's a member of our church that's bedridden, that's not able to come. Her name is Marianne Adlard. She's been praying for years, Brother Moody, that God would send you. Folks, never underestimate the power of somebody praying for you. Never underestimate the power of somebody praying for you. I've been married for 37 years. 37 years. I've often said I was so young when I got married, I didn't know whether to go on a honeymoon or summer camp. But we got married, and I said, Barbara, I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher. We can't divorce. We just can't do it. We got to stay together. It's going to be hard to live with me, but we got to stay together. Got to stay together. And we can't, divorce can't be a part of the vocabulary. We got to stay together. Murder is, but divorce is not. Somebody said, you ever fuss? No. Never have. Had some intensive fellowship, but never fuss. I crack the joke, and I often say we made a covenant, never go to bed, it upset at each other. Never have. Now, we've stayed up for 2 or 3 days at a time, but we've never gone to bed. If you went to Barbara and said, Barbara, do you pray for Benny? She said, oh, yeah. Pray for him every day. Every day. What do you pray, Barbara? I pray every day that God would keep him humble. Because if he don't stay humble, God, you can't use him. And by the way, God can't use any of us if we don't stay humble. If we ever get to thinking it's us and not him, we've missed it. Because it's him, folks. If there's anybody that's worthy of glory, honor, and praise, it's him. So what's the greatest gift you can give somebody? You just give them your presence. You just pray for them. You give them, listen. I'd be going through hard times when Savannah was a little old girl. Just a little girl. And I'd go to her and I'd say, Savannah, put your hands on Daddy and pray for him. because I knew unequivocally God was hearing that prayer. I knew God was hearing that prayer. Never underestimate the power of prayer, ladies and gentlemen. Never underestimate the power of prayer. The gift of your presence. The gift of prayer. And let me give you one more, and I'm done. If you get finished before I do, just slip out. That's the gift of the plan of salvation. By the way, Jesus is the greatest gift you can ever give anybody. Jesus is the greatest gift that you can ever give anybody. Now, there was three of them. Onesiphorus, what a name. Epaphras, but the next name's not going to be so hard to remember. It's Stephen. Look what the Bible says. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet who was Saul. That was Saul who became Paul. Remember, he persecuted Christians. He killed Christians. A violent, sinful man. But look. And they stoned Stephen. But Stephen called on Jesus and said, Jesus, receive my spirit. And lay not this sin to their charge. Here's what I want you to see. Stephen never got over this. Because he mentioned it in Acts 22 verse 20. He never got over what he saw. Here's all I want you to see. People are watching you. See, it's easier to act like a Christian than it is to react like a Christian. It is easier to act like a Christian than it is to react like a Christian. So how do we impact people? We impact people with our lives and our lips. We impact people with our lives and our lips. And the greatest thing you can ever give somebody is when you give them Jesus. 90% of everybody who becomes a Christian will do so through a local church. When is the last time you invited somebody to church? Do you realize only 2% of Christians invite non-Christians? No, many times we're not reaching new people. We're just swapping sheep. And I'm not into sheep swapping because the problem is you get some goats in the mix. No, we need to give them Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. We need to give them Jesus. We need to give them Jesus. So the greatest gifts is when you give your presence, when you give prayers, but when you give them the plan of salvation and you give them Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, there's no way I could do it. Oh, yes, there is. I'll give you some verses. I'm almost done. Thank you. One out of 1,000. Anyway, look, but you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Get this, folks. And you'll be witnesses. Not judges. Not judges. Not prosecuting attorneys. But witnesses. Now, we're... Pastor, I want to join you on a mission trip to Haiti. That's fine. I've been 3 times. We'll go. But look, the first place was Jerusalem, right where they was at. See, if we're not awful careful, we're flying over mission fields to get to a mission field. Yeah, to share your faith, you don't have to cross the seas. You just got to see the cross. That's a good tweet. You just got to see the cross. Now look at the next verse. He that believeth on the Son of God. Wait, I can't do it. You can't? The witness is in you. God said you can because he's planted it in you. Well, help me, preacher. Help me how to do it. I'm going to. Just stay with me. Four easy steps. Step number one, what was your life like before you met Jesus? I don't know about you, but mine wasn't real good. Number two, how did you realize you needed Jesus? Number three, how did you surrender your life to Jesus? And number four, how did Jesus change your life? I don't know about you folks, but he changed my life. He changed my life. And you said, Brother Benny, you really seem to be passionate about this last point, giving them Jesus. You seem to be real passionate about it. Why are you so passionate about it? Let me say this. It comes out of pain. It comes out of pain. See, if you're a speaker, you're a communicator, if you want to impress people, tell them about your successes. But if you want to impact people, you tell them about your failures. And I've learned so much more from my failures than I have from my successes. And I got to be honest with you, I've had a lot more failures than I've had successes. I was pastoring a little church in Tennessee. Pastored there 3 years. I left for health reasons. The deacons got sick of me. There was a lady in our community. She was just as lost as could be. I knew she was lost. I knew she didn't have Jesus. But I'd go to the hospital, and please, folks, listen closely at this point. This is very important. I knew she didn't know Jesus. And I would go to the hospital and never share Jesus. Never share Jesus. One Saturday afternoon, I was visiting, and God spoke to my heart and said, it wasn't like he said, hey, Benny, but it was like I felt that's what I was supposed to do. Drop off the mountain and see that lady. And I told God, I said, I'll be down there Monday and I'll see her then. If I live to be 100, I'll never forget standing on that platform Sunday morning, and there was a door right there. And a man walked out that door and he said, Preacher Benny, and called her name and said, she died last night. I went home, tried to sleep. I'd wake up sweating. Barbara said, when the Lord will forgive you, Benny. And I said, I know that, Barbara. But I also know there's something about blood being on my hands. It's there in Ezekiel chapter 3. There's something about blood being on my hands. When I was supposed to do that, Barbara, and I didn't do it. There was a young girl in our area. Her name was Kim Burrows. She was my age, 23. She needed a heart and lung transplant. And I'd visit with her. And I'd talk about baseball games and Atlanta Braves and everything. And never talked to her about Jesus. And one night, they called and said, she's dying. Will you come to St. Thomas Hospital in Nashville, Tennessee? And I got in that little Dodge Ram pickup truck, and I went to St. Thomas. And I walked in there and I said, Kim, I want to apologize to you. I've visited you several times and we've talked about baseball games. We've had fun. I've told you my latest joke. But I never talked to you about Jesus, Kim. Kim, the most important thing you can do is ask Jesus into your heart. I said, it's a simple prayer, Kim. Do you want to pray it with me? And that little old 23-year-old girl removed that oxygen mask and said, I do. And she prayed that prayer. And if I live to be 100, she looked up at a little old face and she looked into my face and she said, Brother Benny, all the guilt and all the condemnation, it's gone. I said, Kim, because the Lord's forgiven you. Because the Lord's forgiven you. And I got in that truck and I drove back home, and about midnight that night, I got the call that she had died. I preached her funeral. But as I was driving back home, I couldn't help but think, that lady down at Winchester Hospital, she might have been just that easy if I just shared Jesus. If I just shared Jesus. Oh, friend, there used to be an old song. You never mention him to me. You help me not the light to see. You met me day by day. And you knew I was astray. But you never mentioned him to me. You met me day by day. And you knew I was astray. But you never mentioned him to me. Let's give him our presence. Let's give him our prayer. But oh, for God's sake, let's give him Jesus. Let's give him Jesus. Let's give him Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.